Okay, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd. So we are still discussing the wujuh ta'an and the different types of criticisms that we can have in the matan and also in the isnad. And we were the last one that we looked at was gone. So he's having Imam Ibn Hajar is doing some tangential discussions here. So the last point was, is it Al Mustarab? So we are still on the concept of mukhalafa, right? And there are different types of mukhalafa. Either the mukhalafa is mustarab or the mukhalafa is ziyadat al-mazid fi muttasil al-sanad, or it's taqdim and ta'khir, which is called maqlub. So we are still on the topic of mukhalafa, but what he's doing is, so muharraf al-musahhaf, what he's doing is he's going into kind of a few tangential discussions here. So we've spoken about gharib al-hadith, and then we spoke about Mushkil, the Hadith Mushkil, and then we spoke about Charhum Anil Athar and other books. And so now the eighth one is Jahalatul Rawi. Yeah, so that's the eighth one. So Jahalatul Rawi is also a wujuhut ta'an. And in the Jahalatul Rawi, we said that a Jahala can happen either because the person is not known, or it can happen because the person is too mashhur and he's known with many names, and then you use one name which is not mashhur, giving the impression that this is another person. So now we are still on this, and he is now discussing Jahalatul Ayn, Jahalatul Hal, which is also known as Mastur, and also the Mubham. We mentioned that Majhulul Ayn is the person where there is one or no one has narrated, only one person has narrated from him, or no one has narrated from that person. Because of that, we do not really recognize, we don't really know who that person is. And the example that I gave is that when you in Britain, when you do passports and things like that, then you need two kind of proof of identification. Here, because it's one proof of identification that has been given, then that is Majhulul Ayn. Then we went on to discuss Majhulul Hal. Majhulul Hal is the person whose Ayn is known. We know who this person is because two people have narrated from him, but people have not, ulama have not criticized him, and okay, so we need to finish by 6:55. Is that for today, Brother Salman? Or yes, okay. So we need to finish by 6:55 because another class is starting. Majhulul Hal, which is known as Mastur, is that two people have narrated from him, but they haven't given any kind of verdict on him, whether he is thiqa or whether he is not thiqa. So so this is the example that I gave in the UK. When you go for a passport, you not only do you need two identification, but you also need a counter signatory who basically says, yes, I have known this person in this capacity for this many years, and I have found him to be a good person. So this is called counter signatory. So here as well, in order to get out of being a mastur, not only do you need two identification, but you also need a counter signatory. And the mubham is then where you keep it blank, and you say rajulun haddathani rajulun, that a man said. And we basically mentioned previously that a ta'dil ala al ibham, according to the jamhur, it is not accepted unless the scholar has done iltizam, The scholar has done iltizam in his book of only narrating from Sahih narrators such as Imam al-Bukhari. Sheikh Sharif Hatim al-Auni says even then we need to be cautious. So let's move on. فَإِن سُمِّيَ الرَّاوِي وَانْفَرَدَ رَاوٍ وَاحِدٌ بِالرِّوَايَةِ عَنْهُ فَهُوَ مَجْهُولُ الْعَيْنِ. If the Rawi has been mentioned, and so it's not Mubham, one farada rawin wahidun bi riwaya anhu, but only one person has narrated from him, no one else has narrated from this person. So when we say one person has narrated from him, it doesn't necessarily mean this hadith, it means in the entire biography of that person. Yeah, fahuwa majhulul ayn, and the books that you go and see this person is the wahdan genre. Kal mubham, this is like the mubham, illa an yuwathiqahu ghayru man yanfiridu bihi anhu ala al-asah wa kadha man yanfaridu anhu idha kana mutaahilan lidhalika. However, the majhulul ayn will not be majhulul ayn. The majhulul ayn will not be majhulul ayn if illa an yuwathiqahu ghayra man yanfarid bihi anhu ala al-asah, that somebody else who has not narrated from him have done thiqa of this person. Okay, other people, so they haven't actually narrated from him. So, for example, an example of this is, let's say I have never studied with Sheikh, Yusuf al-Qaradawi, rahmatullahi alayhi. But when somebody asked me, what do you think of Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi? I say he's a brilliant scholar, right? So this is somebody who's doing tawthiq of someone that has not done riwayat from that person. وَكَذَا مَنْ يَنْفَرِدُ عَنْهُ إِذَا كَانَ مُتَأَهِّلًا لِذَٰلِكَ. And similarly, if the person who is there may be places where there is only one rawi that is doing a riwayat from this majhulul ayn person, but that one rawi is equivalent to 100 rawis. So let's say like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is narrating, because of his position, because he is narrating from that person, then that person's jahalatul ayn is gone. So basically the mas'ala is that the majhulul ayn is the person where only one rawi narrates from that person. Okay, this person is majhulul ayn. However, there are two exceptions. Number one is that if there are other ulama who have not narrated, they haven't narrated from him, but they're doing tawthiq of that person, that he's not majhulul ayn. Similarly, if the person, the munfarid rawi, who's the only one narrating from that person, if he is ahl of that, then that also means that this person is not majhulul ayn. Now we go on to majhulul hal. Majhulul hal, wa in rawa anhu ithnan fasa'idan walam yuwathaq fahuwa majhulul hal wa huwa al mastur. And if two people or more have narrated from this person, however, they have not done tawthiq of him, they just narrated from him, but they didn't say, is he thiqa rawi, is he da'if rawi, they haven't said anything. فَهُوَ مَجْهُولُ الْحَالِ, this person is majhulul hal. We know who he is because two people have narrated from him, but as far as his adala, his dab, we really don't know, right? We know his person, we know his person, actually we know his adala, but we don't actually know his dabt. That's majhulul hal. And primarily majhulul hal is known as al-mastur. Okay, you will not get, they will say hadha rajulun majhul, and they will mean by that majhulul ayn, not majhulul hal. If they want to refer to majhulul hal, they'll say mastur. Yeah, Imam Tirmizi uses the word mastur. وقد قبل روايته جماعة بغير قيد وردها الجمهور. Some ulama have accepted the riwayat of the mastur without any condition. However, the jamhur have accepted, have rejected that, because there needs to be a bit more investigation. Imam Ibn Hajar says, والتحقيق, and the reality of the matter is, أن رواية المستور ونحوه مما فيه الاحتمال لا يطلق القول بردها ولا قبولها ولا بقبولها, بل يقال هي موقوفة إلى استبانة حاله كما جزم به إمام الحرمين. He says that the mastur or the mastur person and somebody else like him, who is somebody else like him, the mubham, the mubham, that's what it means, where there is a ihtimal that this person is maqbool or this person is a mardood. لا يطلق القول بردها, we won't say mutlaqan that we need to reject this person, ولا بقبولها, and we won't say mutlaqan absolutely that we accept this person, بل يقال هي موقوفة إلى استبانة حاله, but we will suspend judgment until we are able to investigate this person's situation. كما جزم به إمام الحرمين, such as إمام الحرمين, أبو المعالي الجويني has mentioned. ونحوه قول ابن الصلاة في من جرح بجرح غير مفسر. And Imam Ibn Salah has also said this about the person who has been criticized. There's been jarh on him, but the jarh is not mufassar, it's not been explained. So this mas'ala of jarh mufassar, jarh mujmal will come towards the end of the book. So jarh ghair mufassar or mujmal is, somebody says, oh, he's a weak narrator. Okay, but there's no explanation as to why he's a weak narrator. Whereas Jarh Mufassar is basically he's a weak narrator, and here is the reason why he's a weak narrator. Okay, so when you have, so you will have scenarios where there's a person, there's differences of opinion amongst the ulama about this person. Some have basically said, Huwa thiqatun. So this is ta'adil ghayr mufassar. But then somebody else has said, who are da'ifun, and have explained the reason for da'if. So you have somebody done ta'adil ala al-ibham, okay, or ghayr mufassar, and somebody has done jarh mufassar. So which one is to be privileged, right? So there might be somebody where the ta'adil is ghayr mufassar and the jarh is ghayr mufassar, or the ta'adil is mufassar and the jarh is mufassar. So you can get four logical scenarios. That mas'ala is coming towards the end of the book. Are there any questions before we move on to item number 9?
No questions, but can I just double check and summarize if I've understood correctly? So with majhul al-ayn, that's where only one person narrates from him. And essentially there's two situations which would then make that person acceptable. One is if there's many people who essentially authenticate him, and the other is if one person authenticates him, but that person has a very high status, like for example Imam Ahmad.
Yeah. But the many people who authenticate him, they have not narrated from him.
Yes. Yes.
That's the pivotal issue.
Yeah.
Because if they narrated from him, because then the question still remains, right? The question still remains that why are they not narrating from him? So the fact that Majhulul, so many people have kind of authenticated him, but only one rawi is narrating from him, that still makes that person suspect, but it takes him out of Majhulul Ayn. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then with Majhulul Hal, that's when two people have narrated from him, but they didn't authenticate him.
Yeah. And Majhulul Hal is also Mastur. Mastur is the more common used word. Yeah.
So, and sorry, this might be a silly question, or maybe if you've already covered it, but does this, with regards to Majhulul Hal, would that include where, for example, if I say I heard from someone and not saying who that someone is?
No. That's mubham. That's ta'adil ala al-ibham.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have a number of so ma'rifatu man. Can you see my notes? Ma'rifatu man urifa bi kasrati asma al-wuhdan al-mubham majhulul ayn mastur or majhulul hal. So this is mubham, right? Mubham. I narrated from someone. Yeah. And the hadith.
Can you go back to that screen? I just want to take a picture. That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think the Wahdan and Majhulul Ain, I think these needs to be collapsed into each other. Wahdan is the literature where you go and find the Majhulul Ain. Okay, I mean we gave the example of this hadith last time. حدثنا مسدد قال حدثنا أبو عوانة عن منصور عن ربيع بن حراش عن امرأتي عن أخت لحذيفة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يا معشر النساء. Right. أخت حذيفة is either called فاطمة أو خولة أو خول, but امرأة ربيع بن حراش is unknown, and because of her being unknown, the hadith is declared to be weak. Yeah. Okay, we come on to number nine out of the 10 وجوه الطعن. ثم البدعة وهي السبب التاسع من أسباب الطعن في الراوي, وهي إما أن تكون بمكفر number one أو بمفسق. Then we come to بدعة. Yeah, this is the ninth. هي السبب التاسع. This is the ninth cause for criticism of the راوي. Okay. Now remember that we are talking about bid'ah here from the point of view of ascertaining whether the Prophet said the hadith or not. And this is why, and we've been looking at the wujuh al-ta'an in descending order, starting from the one which is the most severe, and we are moving towards the ones who which are less severe. So al-bid'ah is number nine. But bid'ah is, from an aqidah point of view, it's basically right at the top, right? Bid'ah is a grave sin, okay? So, but we're not talking about aqidah here. We are talking about from the point of view of criticism of arawi, what are the things that will severely jeopardize the hadith? And we said that number one is the kadhab. His hadith will be mawdu', and then the muttaham bil kidb, his hadith will be matruk, and then we have the three munkars, then we have the muwaham, then we have the mustarab, the maqlub, the musahhaf, the muharraf, etc., etc. So from the point of view of hadith science, bid'ah is actually not too much of a problem. Okay, although we say that the condition of a sahih hadith is adalatul rawi, dabtul rawi, ittisalul sanad, adamul shuzuz, adamul illa. If you were to choose between adalatul rawi and dabtul rawi, then dabtul rawi actually trumps the adalatul rawi. Adala is tolerated as long as this person is not a fahash, okay, is not a fahish, and does open sinning. Adala is or nuqs in the adala is tolerated, but what is not tolerated is nuqs in the dabt, right? Which is the opposite, right? Normally, we basically say, oh, it doesn't matter if this scholar is a weak scholar, as long as he is pious, then we will respect this person. But when it comes to a hadith, it's the opposite way around. It's like we will tolerate certain nooks in his adala, right? But as long as the dabt is 100%, we won't compromise on the dabt. And the reason why that is because we are trying to ascertain whether the Prophet did something or not, whether the Prophet said something or not, and that requires that somebody is very carefully, meticulously, is nuanced in the way that they receive transmission and they narrate transmission. Does that make sense? That doesn't mean that adala is not counted. I'm just saying that the dabt is actually given more privilege. Although theoretically we say adala turrawi, dabt turrawi, but actually in practice we find that dabt is given more preference than adala itself. And this is why they're able to tolerate bid'ah and fisq and others. Where bid'ah and fisq comes later, but the problem with dabt comes very early on. So when we say that this rawi is kadhab, yeah, that is a ta'an in his adala, but also primarily it's a ta'an in his dabt as well. Yeah. ثم البدعة أوكي وهي إما أن تكون بمكفر بدعة is either is مكفر which leads one to كفر كأن يعتقد ما يستلزم الكفر so that he believes in something which leads to كفر أو بمفسق أو the بدعة is not مكفر but makes somebody into فاسق فالأول لا يقبل صاحبها الجمهور the جمهور of the scholars don't accept the بدعة مكفر for all, for obvious reasons because this person is not deemed to be a Muslim right وقيل يقبل مطلقا others say that it is even the بدعة مكفر the hadith of the بدعة whose bid'ah is mukaffara is accepted mutlaqan. Another view is that in kana la ya'taqidu hill al-kidh li nasrati maqalatihi qubila that if he does not believe in the permission of the halal of lying in order to li nusrati maqalatihi in order to consolidate his position then that is accepted here they're referring to two things number one is they're referring to the khawarij yeah the khawarij believe in this idea that if you commit a kabira sin then you are a kafir yeah there's no compromise in that and therefore I mean this is a very bizarre statement but you'll find some of the ulama they say that if a khariji is narrating a hadith then you accept it straight away because the khariji doesn't lie now that's a very husnul zan position okay the one thing is ideally this is the ideal But how much do people follow the ideal? That's another thing. But they say, oh, if a khariji narrates a hadith, accept the hadith because the khariji does not lie. Because if the khariji is lying, he becomes a kafir. But at the same time, it is also attacking the Shi'i. And the Shi'i, they practice taqiyya. So basically saying, we should not accept hadith from them. However, you see, that so this is the Rawafid the extreme Ghulat Shi'i however we see that this is all qila the Jamhur's opinion is that if the bid'ah is mukaffara then we do not accept a hadith from that person والتحقيق أنه لا يرد كل مكفر Yeah, so hold on. Okay, so then he's going through all of these opinions and then he's giving us a kind of an explanation of this. He says, وَالتَّحْقِيقُ أَنَّهُ لَا يُرَدُّ كُلُّ مُكَفِّرٍ بِبِدْعَةٍ Right? We do not reject every... so why is it that some people are saying mutlaqan and some people are basically giving this exception? He's explaining that. He says, the haqiq of that is that every bid'ah mukaffira is not rejected. Why? لِأَنَّ كُلَّ طَائِفَةٍ تَدَّعِي أَنَّ مُخَالِفِيهَا مُبْتَدِعَةٌ Because every single group claims that their opposition are bid'atis. Brelevis claim that the Deubandis are bid'atis, you know, the Wahhabi kuffars, and Salafis believe the Shias are, the Sunnis believe Shias are, etc., etc. Okay, so it says everybody is like that. وَقَدْ تُبَالِغُ فَتُكَفِّرُ مُخَالِفِهَا People exaggerate and they do takfir of the opposition. فَلَوْ أُخِذَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى الْإِطْلَاقِ لَاسْتَلْزَمَ تَكْفِيرُ جَمِيعَ الطَّوَائِفِ If we were to accept this absolutely, so he's in a way critiquing the first position. He's basically saying, if we were to absolutely accept that, then there are many, many people that we will have to kind of reject. So then he's giving his opinion, which is the kind of dominant opinion. فَالْمُعْتَمَدْ أَنَّ الَّذِي تُرَدُّ رِوَايَتَهُ مَنْ أَنْكَرَ أَمْرًا مُتَوَاتِرًا من الشرع معلوما من الدين بالضرورة. The معتمد position is the riwayat of that person will be rejected who rejects a متواتر issue which is معلوم من الدين بالضرورة. What is necessarily known from the religion? For example, there are five times prayers. The Quran is the last book of God. The Prophet ﷺ is Khatamun Nabiyyin. So these are amran mutawatir. Remember, he doesn't say hadith al mutawatiran, amran mutawatiran, something which is so obvious to every single Muslim. وَكَذَا مَنْ اعتقد عكسه. And similarly, somebody who believes in the opposite. فأما من لم يكن بهذه الصفة وانضم إلى ذلك ضبطه لما يرويه مع ورعه وتقواه فلا مانع من قبوله. As for the one who is not like this, his bid'ah is not a bid'ah of rejecting ma'lum min al-deen bid-darura. And added to that is that the ضبط of the rawi of that bid'ati is very, very strong. مع ورعه وتقواه. In addition to his wara and his taqwa. Because remember, a bid'ati is different to a fasiq. A fasiq is an open sinner, right? A bid'ah, a person who's doing bid'ah doesn't necessarily have, is not a fasiq, although we basically claim that he's doing fisq. But in his mind, this person, he's not doing fisq. He is sincere in his bid'ah. He is, or he or she are thinking that they are on the right haqq. And therefore, in their mind, the Shias, in their mind, they are on the haqq. The Brelevis, on their mind, they are on the haqq. The Deobandis, in their mind, they are in the haqq. The Salafis, in their mind, they are in the haqq. And so they are not doing fisq, according to them. This is why it says, مَعَ وَرْعِهِ وَتَّقْوَاهُ فَلَا مَانِعَ مِنْ قَبُولِهِ. There is no harm in accepting their words. So it basically looks like Imam Ibn Hajar is supporting this third position, or a position where he says that no, we don't accept the mutlaqan, we don't reject the mutlaqan, but what we do is we look at the type of takfir, and we also look at the type of bid'ah, and then we look at the dabt, and we make a decision about this. Wathani, and the second one is bid'ah mufassiqa, wa huwa man la taqtadi bid'atuhu at-takfir aslan. The one whose bid'ah does not lead him to takfir. وَقَدْ اُخْتِلِفَ أَيْضًا فِي قَبُولِهِ وَرَدِّهِ. There are differences of opinion as to whether we accept it or not. فَقِيلَ يُرَدُّ مُطْلَقًا وَهُوَ بَعِيدٌ. Some people said that we rejected absolutely, that is ba'id. وَأَكْثَرُ مَا عُلِّلَ بِهِ أَنَّ فِي الرِّوَايَةِ عَنْهُ تَرْوِيجًا لِأَمْرِهِ وَتَنْوِيهًا بِذِكْرِهِ. وَعَلَى هَذَا فَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ لَا يُرْوَى عَنْ مُبْتَدِعٍ شَيْءٌ يُشَارِكُهُ فِيهِ غَيْرُ مُبْتَدِعٍ. وهو بعيد وأكثر ما علل به أن في الرواية عنه ترويجا لأمره وتنويها بذكره. The most criticism that we can level towards somebody who takes from a bid'ati is that we say that by narrating from that person, you are making that person famous, and you are bringing that person to people's attention, and we shouldn't bring these type of people to attention. وعلى هذا فينبغي أن لا يروى عن مبتدع شيء يشاركه فيه غير مبتدع. On this basis, we shouldn't narrate from a مبتدع anything where the non-مبتدع is also مشارك in. Meaning that we have a person who's not a bid'ati, he's narrating something, and we have a bid'ati who's narrating exactly the same thing, then we shouldn't go with the bid'ati, because by going with the bid'ati, we are bringing attention and throwing limelight on the bid'ati. We should reject that person, and we should go with the one who is not from the Ahlul Bid'ah. There is an interesting piece of research done by Christopher Melchert. I can share it. Where he actually does a quantitative study of the Kutub of Sahih al-Bukhari, I think, just Sahih al-Bukhari, a quantitative study of Sahih al-Bukhari, where all he's doing is going through every single narrator of Sahih al-Bukhari and just mapping out their kind of theological orientation. And he comes to the conclusion that half of Sahih al-Bukhari is non-Sunnis. Half of the Rawis of Sahih al-Bukhari is non-Sunnis. It's quite an interesting statistical analysis. I'll share it with you, inshallah.
So, Surma, when you say non-Sunnis, so I mean, in the Sunni category, he's not even thinking about like Ash'aris, Maturidis, or anything like that. It's, I guess, the other non-Sunnis would be what, Mu'tazila, and Rawahid.
Qadiriyya, Jabariyya, Khawarij, and your Rawafid and things like that. Yeah, but
Oh, that's
obviously Imam
huge
Bukhari
number.
doesn't have bid'ah mukaffirah. He has bid'ah mufassiqah, and this is why many years ago, when the ulama of India, they were getting signatures from ulama to declare the Shias to be kafirs, they came to Sheikh Yunus John Furi rahmatullahi alayhi, and they asked him, would you can you please sign this document? And he said, I'm not going to sign this document, because if I sign this, then I have to stop teaching Sahih al-Bukhari. If I basically declare these Shias to be kafir, then I have to stop teaching Sahih al-Bukhari. Yeah, a number of them were basically fihi qalilu min at-tashayyu'. A lot of them, they had tashayyu' in them, which is that they believed in the view that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is better than Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This was a view of a number of hadith scholars like Imam Abdul Razzaq As-Sam'ani, Qalilu min at-tashayyu', one of the opinions of Imam Abu Hanifa, as well as mentioned by Mullah Ali Qari in Sharh Fiqh al-Akbar. So this was a view where a lot of ulama talk. In fact, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi was, he was charged with being a Rafidi, and he says, لو كان حب آل محمد رفضا فاشهد الثقلين أني رافضي. That if loving the Prophet ﷺ's family is tashayyu, is Shia, Rafidi, then let the whole world basically witness that I'm a Rafidi. In another part of the Diwan, he says, لو كان حب آل محمد ذنب فذلك ذنب لست عنه أتوب. That if loving the Ahlul Bayt is a sin, then this is a sin which I will not do tawbah from. So a lot of the ulama had that extreme love for the the Ahlul Bayt, so you can almost say that they had Shia tendencies. Yeah, is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry. Quite a shocking statistic. Shocking in the sense something you don't hear very often.
Not really, because if you actually look at, I mean, for example, when we look at when we're doing tafsir, or when we're doing fiqh, or even these usuli subjects, we're always quoting people like Imam Az-Zamakhshari, right? We're quoting the Hanafi scholar Imam Karhi. These are all Mu'tazilis in Aqidah. A lot of the kind of Zamakhshari was a Hanafi, Karhi was a Hanafi. Karhi was one of the first Hanafi Usulis. He was Mu'tazili in Aqidah. So people had that level of tolerance, before. Nowadays, it's where with the sectarian divides we have, you can critique somebody. There was an example that I was reading where a scholar, he's critiquing somebody, and is critiquing him from his Aqidah, but then later on in the evening, they're having tea together, they're friends. They're right, academic rivals, but they're friends, and I think it should be like that as well.
I think I mean that's one of the criticisms leveled against Hanafis, that they're too tolerant. So when I say shocking, I mean from like it's not something you hear very much from Salafis who are kind of quite strict on Aqidah and things like that, and them being very kind of quite staunch proponents of Bukhari.
Yeah, I mean they don't you won't get that from them, because obviously they have their own kind of agenda. They won't even talk about it. Yeah. Okay. وَقِيلَ يُقْبَلُ مُطْلَقًا إِلَّا إِنْ اعْتَكَدَ حَلَّ الْكِذْبِ كَمَا تَقَدَّمَ. And it is said that from the bid'ah mufassiqa, we should accept mutlaqan, except that they believe that lying is halal, like the Shia as Rafidis do, which is taqiyya, tasqila. Waqila yuqbal man lam yakun da'iyat إلى بدعته. Right. It should be accepted, يقبل من لم يكن داعية إلى بدعته, as long as they do not call towards the bid'ah. لأن تزيين بدعتي قد يحمله على تحريف الروايات وتسويتها على ما يقتضيه مذهبه, because his to kind of promote his bid'ah. تزيين بدعتي here is promoting. تزيين basically means embellishing, but here means promoting his bid'ah may urge him to change the riwayat and to do tahrif in it according to the requirements of his madhab. وهذا في الأصح, and this is the most sahih position. So the most sahih position is that in bid'ah مفسقة, we should, as long as the person is not, the hadith does not call towards his bid'ah, then we can take it. But if there is a person who is a Sunni, not a bid'ati, who's saying exactly the same thing, then we should take their riwayat, unless their bid'ati's riwayat is better. And that is also the same opinion when it comes to the bid'ah mukaffira. But in the bid'ah mukaffira, we just need to kind of look at the nature of the bid'ah a bit more before we kind of make a decision on that. Yeah.
Yep.
An example of that will be, say, for example, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam anil mut'a. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid mut'a, mut'atun nikah. If there's a Shia in this riwayat, then that should be accepted even more, because according to the Shia beliefs, mut'a is not abrogated. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not abrogate mut'a. But here we have a Shi'i in the narration, who you know, it's exactly the same as, like, you know, with the Palestine and Israeli conflicts. You know, we tend to really relish and cherish if an Israeli is coming out and critiquing the Israeli state and the Zionist state, like Ilan Pappe and, you know, Norman Finkelstein and others, because we think that they're insider and they're critiquing. So it's the same thing. If an insider, if a bid'ati comes and the hadith doesn't support or goes against their own position, then we accept it. If it supports the position, then and if it's not a Sunni position, then we reject it. Does that make sense?
Well, isn't that what essentially Orientalists do? Where they generally, any hadith which kind of like is critical of Islam or our Prophet or Sahaba, then they just kind of like just accept it.
Yes, they do the same thing, because they're saying there are they actually do that, and they say that, oh, because this is critical of the of Islam and the Sahaba, why would somebody make that up? Yeah, this is on the basis of this. What's that guy called? Jeffrey Arthur Jeffrey basically declared the Gharaniq, the satanic verses, Tilkal Gharaniq al-Ula wa inna shafa'atuhunna la turtaja, declared that to be sahih. But there is a fundamental difference, and that is that the Orientalists start from a position of su'uzan, position of skepticism. Every hadith is fabricated until it can be proven otherwise. Whereas the Muslim scholars, they start from a position of husni zan, that every hadith is accepted until we can prove otherwise. Right? So that's an epistemological difference between them. وأغرب ابن حبان فدعا الاتفاق على قبول غير الداعية من غير تفصيل. Right? So Imam Ibn Hibban, let's see what he says. In his Kitab al-Siqat, فَدَّعَ الْإِتِّفَاقَ عَلَىٰ قَبُولِ غَيْرِ الدَّاعِيَةِ. He basically did a kind of da'wa of ijma', da'wa of ittifaq, of accepting the riwayat of the bid'ati who are not supporting their own cause without any tafsir. Imam Ibn Hajar went into a tafsir before, and the tafsir was that, you know, if there is two people narrating it. One is a bid'ati, one is non-bid'ati. Then we go with the non-bid'ati's opinion. So whereas Imam, so he's critiquing Imam Ibn Hibban, who basically said there's kind of an ijma on this, that you just accept the riwayat of the one who's not supporting his madhab without any tafsir. نعم الأكثر على قبول غير الداعية. He says yes, most of the ulama do are of the opinion that we accept the non-partisan hadith of the bid'ati, illa أن يروي ما يقوي بدعته فيرد, except that unless this person narrates that which consolidates his bid'ah, we reject that على المذهب المختار. According to the most preferred opinion, وبه صرح الحافظ أبو إسحاق إبراهيم بن يعقوب الجوزجاني. Imam al-Jawzajani was the teacher of Imam Abu Dawud al-Nasai. He is also of that opinion. شيخ أبي داود والنسائي في كتابه معرفة الرجال فقال في وصف الرواة: ومنهم زائغ عن الحق أي عن السنة صادق اللهجة. So he's quoting al-Jawzajani here. For whatever reason, he's saying there are those who are who have gone astray from the haqq, i.e. from the sunnah, but they are truthful. فليس فيه حيلة إلا أن يؤخذ من حديثه ما لا يكون منكرا إذا لم يقوي به بدعته. There is no حيلة other than to accept the hadith as long as there is no munkar in there, anything which is kind of problematic. إذا لم يقوي به بدعته, as long as the person does not consolidate and fortify his bid'ah on that. وما قاله متجه. Okay, let's leave it at here because time is actually let's just finish this up to 10. وما قاله متجه لأن العلة التي أرد الحديث. Okay, leave here. There is a discussion here, and we will pick up this in the new year. I will basically be WhatsApp you as far as the arrangements are concerned. Is that okay?
Yes, inshallah.
Inshallah.
I'm safe journey,
okay.
Inshallah. Keep us in your doors.
Inshallah. Okay, take care. Asalaamu Alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.